At the Crystal Coast, you'll find unrivaled beauty and the perfect vacation for everyone in the family. Choose the 85 miles of beaches and 11 waterfront towns on North Carolina's uncrowded coast. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. And wow, do we have a lot going on. We have some great guests coming up, including Alabama Senator Katie Britt. Also, the SBA Administrator, Kelly Loeffler, is going to be joining us from the White House in just a little while. And we have some great guests. We had some great guests on last night, including an incredible conversation with Congressman Mark Harris about what's been happening over in the UK. There's been a lot of concern in the UK about the attacks on free speech, and people are literally being thrown into jail for things they're writing on X, things they're writing on Facebook. They might crack an off-color joke, and people are literally being thrown in jail. Right now, we are watching a communist-style government being formed in the UK, and it is not good. And there is there's a lot to talk about there, and Congressman Harris, very concerned about the direction of one of our great allies. By the way, I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this today if you plan on phoning into the program. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, RFK Jr. up on Capitol Hill getting grilled. And you know what I find fascinating? Out of all of the issues, and there are so many dumpster fires burning in our nation's capital and within the federal government. It's unbelievable. But the amount of hate and vitriol being directed at RFK Jr. is just off the charts. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that he is the right man for the job. This is for such a time as this moment for the nation and for RFK Jr. And I am so glad that President Trump put him in charge. We don't agree on politics. We don't agree on just about anything. But let me say something here. The way the federal government has been weaponizing and politicizing illnesses and disease, those days are over. And let me say something about the China virus. No doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to from day one by our government and by Anthony Fauci, by the CDC, all the people who were assigned the task of protecting us and keeping us safe, they lied to us. And RFK Jr. is exposing the lies. He's exposing the rot and the corruption. We're going to be playing some audio from that in just a few moments. But it's a terrible thing that our government did. And the reality is, and just hear me on this, the reality is that many people are now dying very painful deaths because they got the clot shot, because they took the vaccine. There are many people out there, many businesses and corporations that have blood on their hands because they forced their employees to get this vaccine. And I know that there are many people in this audience, and you, because you have phoned in over the years and you've shared what's happened to you, that you were told, you were hauled in and said you're either going to get the shot or you're going to lose your job. There are many people in the radio business, Cumulus, one of the largest talk radio providers in the country, the Cumulus radio networks, and they told their employees, you're either going to get this shot or you're out of here. And a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of very good people lost their jobs. Now, I remember at the time I had just purchased my radio station, and I told our team here, because everybody was getting nervous, all right, are we going to have to go and mask up? Are we going to have to get the shot? And I said, look, If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, don't. It's America. It's a free country. You can do as you choose. As far as the vaccine, I told our team, you consult with your doctor and your God. That's between you and the Lord and your doctor, not me. And if you want to get it, that's on you. If you don't, that's on you as well. And that's how we operate things here. None of my business. So you've got RFK Jr., and he is just, he is really, these Democrats are trying to attack him and eviscerate him, but he's turning the table every single time. I will say this, I think when you, and this may be generations from now, we may not even be alive when they finally come around to dealing with what happened during this China virus. I believe it to be one of the greatest scandals of all time. I truly do. I also believe that it was meant to be a test. I think there are a couple of things here that are going on. And if you will allow me, if you will allow me just for a moment to dip my toe into the conspiratorial waters for just a moment, because I don't think anything happened out of just circumstance. I believe everything was coordinated. I believe that the virus was intentionally released, and I believe it was meant to weaken our nation. I believe it was meant to harm our nation. I believe the vaccines that were produced were meant to harm the American people. When you look at the numbers of young people that are still dropping dead, very healthy young people, athletic young people, and they're just dropping dead, many of them of heart issues, that tells me that there was an intentional effort to physically, hear me on this, physically weaken an entire generation of young, red-blooded American young people. You can't convince me otherwise. And why is that? Well, if you've got a generation of weak young people who aren't able to go out there and be physically active, they're not able to go out and physically exert themselves like they used to, those are easy countries to physically conquer by invading armies. So yes, I do believe that the China virus at its heart, at its core, was meant to specifically target the United States of America. And there will be debates over what happened and why it went global and all that, and that's fine. But I think there was another component of this as well, and I think the government overlords, the deep state, as President Trump calls them, the people, the bureaucracy, they wanted to see how far they could push the American people. You know, we pride ourselves on being free and independent, right? Live free or die. Well, during the China virus, we found out that wasn't true, that an overwhelming majority of our fellow countrymen would rather just live free. But if it means that we make it, you know, the sniffles, then you do whatever you need to do to take care of us. And that's what happened. Government came to us and said, you know what, we're going to have to shut down the schools. And they said, and we said, whatever you need to do to keep us safe, you do it. The federal government came in and said, we got to shut down your businesses, your companies, but we're going to let the big box stores, we're going to let Kroger and Walmart, all those big box stores, we're going to let them stay open. But mom and pop stores, you got to shut down. They decimated the economy. And we said, you know what, you do what you got to do. And then they came to us and said, you've got to stay inside your homes. You're not allowed to go to work. The government will pay you. We will send you a check. And what did we say? Again, you do what you need to do to keep us safe. And then they came to us and said, you know what? We got to shut down your churches. And we said, okay, no problem. We got to stay safe. And it was amazing to me, and I mean, quite frankly, horrifying, and I was still in New York City when all of this was happening, watching our civil liberties be taken away from us, and we allowed that to happen. We allowed that to happen. To me, that is the greatest scandal of all, because now the deep state knows that our people are weak, and we are willing to surrender at the drop of a hat. And that troubles me. There should have been a massive uprising of we the people during the pandemic, and it just did not happen. And anybody who tried to, and hear me on this, Anybody who tried to explain what was really going on was immediately ostracized and set aside. And I'll give you an example because it happened to me. I remember early on when I was still, I had just left Fox. I was still living in New York City. This was in 2019. And at that time, all of the focus was on New York City. And if you listen to the nightly news, New York City was like, it was like a war zone, right? They were telling us that the hospitals were filled and overflowing. People were dying on the streets. Remember all of this? Do you remember this on your TV? And I was getting calls from back home in Memphis, and people were, my family, are you okay? Do you need to get out of there? What's going on? And I said, well, no, everything's okay in our neighborhood. I mean, I lived right around the corner from the hospital there in downtown Brooklyn. So one day I decided, you know what? I'm just going to do a Facebook Live and show everybody that everything's fine. People are not panicking. People are not dying in the streets. People are not waiting in long lines around city blocks, you know, to get into the hospital. So I went down to our local hospital and sure enough, turned on the, and you, many of you remember this because that's how many of you learned about me. Almost 200 million people watched that video. There were no long lines. There was no panic. The emergency rooms were not filled to overflowing. There were plenty of beds available in the hospital. And I just shared it. Very little commentary other than they're telling you this is what's happening. But in reality, here we are. And all hell broke loose. I mean, the media came after the New York Times, Washington Post, NBC News. How dare this guy? He's lying. And I'm like, what am I lying about? I posted a Facebook Live video outside of the hospital in Brooklyn. They were trying to advance a narrative, ladies and gentlemen, and we caught them. We caught them early on, and they didn't like it. So we need answers, and I hope RFK Jr. completely, and hear me on this, RFK Jr. needs to completely dismantle HHS and rebuild it for what it's supposed to be. But I wonder how many of our fellow citizens they poisoned with those vaccines. How many of our fellow citizens are going to have shortened lifespans as a result of all of this? Those are the questions. So when I hear about states like Florida, and yesterday the Surgeon General in Florida announced they're eliminating all vaccines, that the state of Florida will no longer force any child to get a vaccine, that they are restoring the rights of moms and dads to make those decisions, that is what I voted for. And what's happening up on Capitol Hill today, that's what I voted for as well. As a matter of fact, I think we've got a little bit of the back and forth. Here's RFK Jr.
Do you believe COVID-19 was politicized?
Yeah, the whole process was politicized. Senator, I mean, we were lied to about everything. We were lied to about natural immunity. We were lied to about, you know, we were told again and again the vaccines would prevent transmission. They'd prevent infection. It wasn't true. They knew it from the start. It wasn't true because that's what the animal studies and the clinical trials showed. We were told that there was science behind cloth masks. The CDC allowed the teachers' union to write the order closing our schools, which hurt working people all over the country, and then pretend it was science-based. All of these issues, and then I can show you, like, for example, Chairman Wyden was talking about me politicizing ACIP. During COVID, probably the most famous scientist on ACIP was Martin Kulldor from Harvard, the great, renowned, world-renowned epidemiologist and vaccinologist. And he criticized the COVID booster mandates. They ejected him from COVID because he wasn't in the orthodoxy. The two biggest health officials at FDA during COVID, Dr. Gruber and Dr. Krause, criticized the Biden mandates, vaccine mandates. You know, President Biden said in August, I would never take that vaccine, the Trump vaccine. And he came in, he mandated it, and then he fired the two top health officials at FDA who said, hey, this thing has not been properly tested. So the whole process was politicized, and even today.
So let me...
So there you go, just a bit of the testimony there. By the way, there was just a huge blow up between RFK Jr. and Pocahontas, who's been taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from Big Pharma. We're going to get into that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking your calls on the China virus. Do you believe that we are a better country as a result of forcing those vaccines on people? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I want to play this. This is RFK Jr. going at it with Elizabeth Warren, who's taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from Big Pharma. Take a listen.
Will you tell America that all adults and all children over 6 months of age are eligible to get a COVID booster at their local pharmacy today?
Anybody can get the booster.
I'm sorry?
Anybody can get it.
Senator. Anybody. So you're saying that is now the official rule of HHS. Anybody is eligible to get a booster by just walking into the pharmacy.
It's not recommended for healthy people.
No. If you don't recommend, then the consequence of that in many states is that you can't walk into a pharmacy and get one. It means insurance companies don't have to cover the $200 or so cost. As Senator Dr. Cassidy said, you are effectively denying people vaccines.
We're not going to recommend a product for which there's no clinical data for that indication. Is that what I should be doing?
What you should be doing is honoring your promise that you made when you were looking to get confirmed in this job.
You're going like this.
That is, you promised that you would not take away vaccines from anyone who wanted them. You just changed the classification of the COVID vaccine.
I'm not taking them away from people, Senator.
It takes it away if you can't get it from your pharmacist.
Well, most Americans are going to be able to get it from their pharmacy for free. Most Americans will be able to get it from their pharmacy for free.
The question is, everyone who wants it, that was your promise.
I never promised that I was going to recommend products with which there is no indication.
When you said.
And I know you've taken $855,000 from pharmaceutical companies, Senator.
Did you hold up a big sign saying that you were lying when you said that, because you are the one who said you would not take them away? Now, Senator,
I'm not taking them away from anybody.
Secretary,
you want me to indicate a product for which there is no clinical data?
Senator,
is that what you want?
Secretary Kennedy, you said you wouldn't, and now you did.
I'm not taking them away. Everybody can get access to them.
Wow. Look, I think you need to step back and understand something here. What, 1.2 million people died? They're saying from COVID, but keep in mind, if you got hit by a bus and you died, and then they were testing you after your death, and there was COVID, that was classified as a COVID death. All of those deaths, ladies and gentlemen, many of them, a result of the China virus vaccine. Just think about that. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, phones are lighting up today, and as promised, I want to go right to our phone lines. Let's start the day in Baltimore, Maryland. Bill, listening to us on WCBM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, good.
Well, back in 2020, when this all came out, something told me something's wrong. So I never got the vaccine, never got any of the boosters. And which really turned me off to Trump was that he said vaccines at light speed. That's not possible. And he called himself the father of the vaccine. And it really scared the flipping daylights out of me. My mother got the vaccine, and months later she had a stroke and died. And my friend of mine at work, he's younger than me, he got the vaccine and was in the hospital with heart trouble. So I knew it was like something came to me and told me that something's wrong here. So I just never got that vaccine. I'm so glad now that I never did.
Bill, count your blessings. I know my cardiologist told me, hey, now's the time to go ahead and get the, you know, get the first dose, which I did, and ended up in the hospital just a few days later with a heart issue that I had not had before. So it scared the living daylights out of me. I did not go back for any other vaccines. And Bill, I'll be doggone if I've never had the China virus. I never got the virus.
Yeah, I got sick, and it felt like it may have been the China virus if it was such a thing as real. But I just got sick like the flu, and it went away. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I had. Yeah.
Bill, well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. And, again, it is a story, Bill, that we are hearing across the country. Many, many people sharing very similar experiences. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Terry, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 along the beautiful Gulf of America. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Very good, sir. When you were talking about the young people being affected, there's something that you could look up. It is now not classified. It is Project Defuse. It was a project. It was a DARPA project. What it was, and it shows the whole projection that this was for vaccinating our military. And you can look it up yourself, is their whole project was to affect the enemy, to give people with good hearts a heart problem. And like I said, the research is all there. It's all spelled out in a project called Project Defuse, which was by the EcoHealth Alliance, who was involved in the project. With this project was with DARPA certification, which is a defense authorization for research project.
Terry, I understand from my call screener that you actually worked with the government. What kind of work did you do for the government?
Well, I can't really say because I still do.
I see.
So I probably shouldn't say that.
So let me ask you. Well, let me ask you this. So you're saying that the China virus was meant to be used against our enemies, as opposed to the general population of the United States.
Exactly. It was meant to. The project was meant to inoculate our soldiers against it and release it upon an enemy where it could take out 10-20% of very healthy military age people. That's why these athletes in their best condition of their life are falling over, because it is meant to affect the healthy. And it is meant to affect military age. And that's why you have these football players and basketball players and runners and all these things falling over, because it was meant to affect someone under stress. just like someone in the military holding a gun.
Well, let me say this, and Terry, and I appreciate the intel, but it's important to share, and we have to share this information. Echo Health Alliance back in 2023 actually denied these accusations and said this is simply not accurate. So, again, this is coming from Echo Health Alliance. I don't know ultimately what the end goal was, and Terry, thank you for the call. I don't know what the end goal of all of this is. All I know is that a lot of people are dying who should not be dying. And when you look at a lot of people within HHS at the time, there were many people that believed the biggest problem facing the world were the inhabitants of the world. And you do have to wonder, okay, was part of this depopulating the earth and making it impossible for, in some cases, for women to actually bear children? And these are questions that have been raised, and these are issues that have been discussed. I think when, again, and it's going to take some time, but when we finally get to the bottom of all of this, and this far surpasses politics because Republicans and Democrats were involved in this, but this goes far beyond that and really goes to the heart of what the deep state is in this country. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa, radio station KXEL. That's Jeff Stein country. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Yes, we really love Jeff Stein here. He does a lot of programming. A quick aside to my main point is my cousin and I used to argue. He has a biology degree from a university, and he and I argued about science of COVID. He said it was science, science, science. And then when he got the jab, he instantly got rheumatoid arthritis, and he used to be a bike rider. But my comment is the most painful thing about COVID for me, and one of the most painful things about it was for those people who did step up, because I have friends and associates and who said the church should stay open, you'd go through Walmart and young people would chase you, berating you because you didn't have a mask. Yeah, like, I had two on me when I time I went in. That when you did take a stand, which was difficult if you're not like a, you know, a big personality and, you know, you have that kind of confidence. You, the Christians, people didn't stand with you. You were pretty much on your own. And there's still some rifts and just some leftover feelings like, hey, why didn't you stand with me for this? Same for school board meetings and everything. It's those who just kind of let you take the lead, you take the hit, and they're just not going to jump in. And I think didn't one time you talked to Eric Metaxas about, he had a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, same deal in pre-war Germany. A few people said, you know, we don't think this guy is right. But most people go like, hey, don't make waves. He'll be fine. So that was one of the most painful things about COVID for me. And looking at not just myself, but other people who were just kind of, you know, people just like watch and see what happens to them. It's like, no, bro, I need you to come help me.
Jerry, they literally tried to destroy anyone who raised even a remote question about the China virus or the vaccines. That's how dangerous of a time this was in America. And I remember because I was the guy asking the questions at the time. And I will say that I would not have been able to ask those questions had I still been at Fox or had I been working for some sort of a corporate giant. They just would not have allowed that. So that's how serious of a situation this was. We came very close to losing the entire republic as a result of our behavior. We allowed the government to do this to us, and we can't do that again. Jerry, I hate to do this, but I've got to take a quick break here. Folks, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Great call, Jerry. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let me give you a rundown of what's happening. We've got some voting underway up on Capitol Hill in the Senate, so we are waiting for Senator Katie Britt to join us. So hopefully that will happen here momentarily. But again, this is real time, and you never know how these things will work out. Also, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Congressman Burgess Owens out of Utah and Senator Roger Marshall out of the great state of Kansas. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Meantime, there is a crazy story out of Virginia. Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia is now rejecting a core principle of the Declaration of Independence. I want you to listen to Senator Kaine explain that our rights as Americans do not come from Almighty God.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the Creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their Creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
Yeah. So, look, Senator Ted Cruz pointed out, hey, look, that's not what the Constitution says. He goes on to say that according to our founding fathers, according to the Declaration of Independence, according to our founding documents, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator. Creator with certain unalienable rights. I mean, this is insanity. But again, the Democrats, and this is really the crux of the matter. The Democrats don't believe that God has any place in American society anymore, which is why back, and this all started in earnest in the mid-2000s. And I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Democratic National Convention, when the Democrat Party voted to remove God from the party platform, they literally booed the name of God during a severe thunderstorm. No, I'm not making that up. I was a little nervous myself because I was in the building, and I hoped we were all going to be able to make it out of there. So this is maybe not all that surprising that Senator Kaine did this, but this is a core belief, a core principle of the Democrat Party is that God has absolutely no place in American society except in a church house. That's it. All right, let's go to the phones here. Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and beautiful, the middle part of the state. Richard. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for the little time capsule back to COVID beginning. And there's one thing that I'm curious as to whether people still remember about who sponsors this kind of stuff. Three names, Soros, Schwab, and Gates. All three are depopulationists who believe there are too many of us walking the face of this earth.
1,000%. Richard, may I ask a favor of you? We have the senator calling in. Can I put you on hold? I want to finish this conversation because it's an important point you're making.
Yes, sir, we can.
All right, let's put Richard on hold for just a moment. And ladies and gentlemen, let's go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're honored to have the great senator from Alabama, the new home of Space Force, going where no man has gone before, Senator Katie Britt. Senator, I hope you like your theme music.
Listen, Todd, this is outstanding. I'm going to have the team just get that keyed up for any time I go on the radio. You nailed it.
We will have a ringtone for you by the end of the program. I can promise you.
That's when I know I've made it. Once you solidify me in that way, that is when I'll know I've made it.
Senator, first of all, congratulations. That has to be such exciting news. And I know the president was really fired up about relocating. The folks in Colorado not too keen on it, but a well-deserved honor for the good people of Alabama.
Absolutely, Todd. Look, when President Trump put national security and our warfighter first on Tuesday when he named Alabama the rightful home of Space Command. This goes all the way back. Look, you got to rewind to Trump 1. Trump 1, they did a competition. They selected Alabama. People wanted to make sure that all the metrics were exactly right, and and that they were exactly what was needed to make sure that we had success in 21st century warfare. They recompeted it nationwide, and Alabama won once again. At the end of the day, we were selected based on the decision matrix of making sure, you know, everything included, whether it's cost, capability, ultimately, where and how can we make sure that the warfighter is in the strongest place possible? And we are proud to be the best place when it comes to national security for that location. The Secretary of the Air Force obviously confirmed that. President Trump made the decision. Then, Todd, what happened? President Biden came in, and his Secretary of the Air Force said, yes, Alabama, Redstone Arsenal, is where Space Command should be located for all of the reasons that are set before us. Well, then President Biden, or now as we know, who knows if it was President Biden, Todd, it may have been the Otto Pen-in-Chief that actually made the decision to move it to Colorado. Now, you got to understand this. Colorado was not second. It's not like Alabama was one and Colorado was two. Colorado was on down the list, but it was the first blue state that he could select. He then moved it from Alabama to Colorado. We as a delegation worked diligently over the last administration to make sure that we utilize the tools in our toolbox to keep the ability to move it back to its rightful home in Huntsville, Alabama, when President Trump came back into office. And we are so proud. They've done the exact same assessment, and Secretary Hegseth and President Trump have said Redstone Arsenal is where Space Command needs to be for the future of our country and national security. So we are thrilled. Listen, I talked to someone this morning who said, I promise you, it's like sporadic parades have broken out in Alabama.
I bet.
People just so excited. Look, we have understood, you know, for years, we understand the service and the sacrifice that our men and women in uniform make. And we honor that. And to be able to have Space Command base its headquarters in Alabama is just a game changer. We've known for years national defense means a great deal to Alabama, and I think Tuesday showed that Alabama means a great deal to national defense.
Senator, I've got about 30 seconds before the computer cuts us off here. Let's talk about crime crackdown. Where do you stand with President Trump sending in the troops, deploying troops to get crime under control?
Well, Todd, I wish you'd let me stay on longer because, listen, we must continue to support President Trump. He is leading in a way that other presidents failed the American people on. What's happening in D.C. is tremendous. You even have the mayor of D.C. saying, thank you, President Trump. This is about the safety of our citizens. When you think about coming to D.C., obviously, whether you're a visitor or whether you're a staffer, you should be safe. But also the people who live here and work here and are raising a family here deserve to be safe as well. And it is despicable that others across the country and other cities, I mean, Memphis being top of that list, aren't saying the same thing. Come in and help us because the lives of our citizens mean more than anything else, and we'll do what it takes to save them.
Well, and we'll leave it there. We do have to get you back on because we've got to figure out what's going on at the University of Alabama with the Crimson Tide. There are issues. Senator,
Todd, you better give me more than one segment for that right there.
Oh,
okay?
I can promise you that. And this is coming from a volunteer fan, so.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's get on before October 18th so that I can at least have a little more spirit to dialogue. Okay?
Definitely. All right. Thanks a lot, Senator. Senator Katie Britt, we'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starks.
Oh, wow. So, my apologies. I was sort of rushing back to the microphone. I was chatting with Senator Britt off air, and she is one of the busiest people up on Capitol Hill. And she's really fired up about the Space Force thing because and this is a great point. It was Space Force was always supposed to be in Alabama, but it was the Biden administration that played politics here and moved it to Colorado. Real quick, and we got Richard on hold. So Richard, hang tight. Let's go to Michael in Colorado. And I know, Michael, you want to weigh in on this. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Todd. First of all, thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm actually 29 years old. And just thank you for always imparting your wisdom and, you know, pushing the envelope of what's possible. And, yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about the Space Force decision. You know, Trump had denied that politics played into his decision while citing state use of mail-in voting as a big factor still. So he said, the problem I have with Colorado, one of the big problems, they do mail-in voting, so they have automatically crooked elections. And my point is, like, why politicize something that really has nothing to do with politics, the Space Command? And he didn't really lay out how Colorado Springs is mismanaging the facility. You know, what are they doing wrong? I know you said originally it was meant to be in Alabama, okay, but it is, the reality is it's in Colorado now, and that's where a lot of the frustration and anger is coming from, I think. Just what are your kind of overall thoughts on that?
Well, when you look at why it was, and I think that's the other issue, is why Alabama? Well, first of all, you have Huntsville, and you've got a large space, a NASA presence there already. Also, Alabama and Huntsville specifically has the largest number of rocket scientists per capita than anywhere else in America. So from a very practical standpoint, it makes sense that it should be in Alabama.
Right. I guess my only thing is, why does he have to bring that into it, a political, like, kind of angle or element, saying, well, they do mail-in voting, so automatically, I mean, what does that have to do with Space Command? And, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a stark, you know, point to make. And it just, I'm an independent. So,
sure.
You know, I look at things like through a rose color or, you know, unbiased kind of centrist point of view. And I just, you know, thought it would be an interesting point to raise. But yeah.
No, it's fair. Yeah, and you're right. I think if you're, you know, and I, there are two different issues here. And the mail-in voting to me has no bearing on where Space Force is located. But I will say, going back originally, President Biden is the one who changed Space Command's headquarters to Colorado from when it was supposed to be in Alabama. So I think, to your point, Michael, as an independent, maybe both sides were playing politics here.
Yeah, good point, Todd. All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Michael, thanks for calling in, and don't be a stranger. Good comments. Yeah, it's, again, the president, and by the way, the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, saying that being in Huntsville gives us a strategic advantage for the future. He says we're way ahead in space. This is going to ensure we stay leaps and bounds ahead, because that's the most important domain. Whoever controls the skies will control the future warfare, and no doubt about that. So anyway, Republicans and Democrats on the Colorado congressional delegation are spitting mad over this. And they're saying it's going to set back the space defense apparatus years and waste billions of tax dollars. So that's coming from Republicans and Democrats in Colorado. I will say this, though, you know, just about everybody smokes marijuana over in Colorado. I don't say just about everybody, but a lot of folks do, and that's a big problem. Trying to find good workers that aren't high as a kite. I mean, unless you're, you know, in the snack food business, and then you're doing pretty good money over there. All right, let's go to Richard. Richard, you got booted for a U.S. senator. I know that may not be comforting to you, Richard, but we've got you back now.
Oh, that warms the cockles of my heart.
I'm sure it does.
But to reintroduce those to what we were talking about, it was COVID, and the progenitors of everything, Schwab, Soros, Gates, are all depopulationists who see the 7+ billion people walking the face of Mother Earth now as excess baggage. They believe that there are 6.5 billion with a B, too many of us, and the population, in their mind, needs to be reduced to no more than 500 million to act as their own personal servant class. this is one reason why I was thrilled when I saw a story that the Georgia Guidestones, which also referenced 500 million, had been blown up. And I don't think we've ever found out who sponsored the construction of that. But if we could move on to a little different area of COVID.
Well, let me say this before we do that, Richard, is that I was one of the early people concerned and voicing concerns on radio about the whole population control aspect. Because when you saw the people that were pushing the vaccine, these are all people that believe that we should be depopulating planet Earth and that the humans are the bigger problem here. We're the bigger threat to Mother Earth, as they call the planet. So, I think it's a fair question to ask, especially now that so many very, very healthy young people have died. They've gotten very serious illnesses. And in many cases, young ladies are now not able to give birth to children.
I agree with you. On a somewhat different note, I remember in 20 when the Shelby County Health Department set up its vaccination tent structures in the parking lot near the Agri Center. Girlfriend and I drove out there one day to see what was going on, and it was lunchtime. Nobody was around, but there were a couple of things that were strange. They had the digital signage out there, and it was still left on, and it had little warnings like turn your phones off, keep your windows rolled up, and I'm not understanding any of this. Anyhow, we didn't get the shot because there was nobody there. And on one other subject, again, in the 20s, early 20s, I was out by a swimming pool one day, and this was in my apartment complex, and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, and no one else is out there. I'm the only one. And I'm just getting vitamin D because I figure vitamin D is the best thing in the world for prevention of COVID. And one of our maintenance guys came up, and I know he didn't want to do it anymore, and I wanted him to do it. And he said that management told him to tell me to get inside because of COVID. And I looked at him, and I asked him, look, we're surrounded by trillions of liters of air, and management is trying to tell me there is one COVID virion particle with my name on it that's going to target me? Get real.
Wow. Wow. And it was, you know, I remember in Mississippi, of all places, they had shut down the churches, and so there was a little Baptist church out in the country. And the pastor set up a public address system up on the porch of the church and invited people to drive in, and they could sit in their cars and they could listen to the sermon. And the local police raided the church, Richard. This is in the northern part of Mississippi. Raided the church, and they were handing out tickets to all these elderly Baptist people who were just sitting in their cars worshiping God.
Yeah. There was only one other thing, and this was the Shelby County Health Department at work again, designating which types of jobs were to be considered essential versus non-essential. And the only thought I had about that was, if you're working and you're bringing home cash to feed your family and clothe your family, no matter what your job is, it's pretty damned essential to you and your family. And these people at the health department were just cutting people off from employment for no understandable reason. I still don't understand it, except that it was political control, and political control leads to economic control.
Richard, that's exactly, and I've got to have to take a quick break here, Richard, coming up, but you made some excellent points, and I do remember that. I remember telling people that your job was not essential. In my estimation, every job is essential, and every job is noble. When you take away a man's job, you take away his livelihood, you take away a large part of who that man is. And you sit him on in a lazy boy recliner and say, don't worry about it, the government's going to take care of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just now dealing with the aftermath of all of that in this country. And it's a tragic thing. The left literally destroyed the very fiber and being of who we are, who we were as Americans. And our work ethic in the United States of America is unparalleled around the world. We set the standard for being hard workers. We don't take siestas. We don't take three-hour lunches. We work our butts off. We put our bologna sandwich in a pail, and we go to the office. That's who we are as Americans. They took all of that away. They literally wanted to strip away everything that made us Americans. And I pray to God that RFK Jr. is able to remedy all of the things that happened as a result of that in HHS. All right, we do have to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Big, big news at Newsmax. They're shaking up the lineup. Greta going to 4 o'clock. Then you've got Chris Salcedo at 5 and Carl Higbee at 6 o'clock. So a lot of movement there. Very exciting, the changes that are coming at Newsmax. And of course, millions of people are joining our news revolution. We're the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters calling us one of the top news brands in America. Just an incredible thing that our boss, our founder, Chris Ruddy, is putting together over there. By the way, if you haven't downloaded the free Newsmax app on your smartphone, I want to encourage you to do that and start watching. You know, President Trump says Newsmax is truly terrific. So get that app and also check out the New York Stock Exchange, because Newsmax, we're on the New York Stock Exchange. NewsmaxInvest.com. You can actually buy shares. NewsmaxInvest.com. Go check it out right now. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Cleveland, Georgia. Chuck is on the line. Hi, Chuck. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I was just calling to mention when COVID broke out, my wife is a nurse, and they're in a private setting, but their patients that they got on the respirator, like 90% of them didn't make it, and the ones that did not get on the respirator, most of them had no problems at all. And the hospitals were getting paid like big money to put people on the respirators, and very little money for people they didn't put on the respirators. And I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was a major deal. And me and her, neither one got the shot, and they were trying to force their people. And I work at a company. Can I say the company?
Oh, well, sure. Why not?
Kubota was trying to force us to take shot. So I called the governor, because the governor in Georgia had said, you have a religious right to refuse treatment in the state of Georgia. You cannot be forced to take the shot. But anyway. That's all I got, Todd. Love you. Appreciate your show.
Chuck, I'm glad you and your wife are doing good, and thank you so much for that that intel there. Wow. It's true. The hospitals were getting paid lots and lots of money to do things. It's I'm telling you, there's going to be some, this is going to be a blemish in world history. Guarantee you that. All right. This story from Monrovia, California. The atheists are on a warpath. The Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, this is the Wisconsin-based group of atheists. We've covered them a lot. Man, do they hate Christians. They really do hate Christians. And they're just a nasty bunch of people. Anyway, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is very upset. Somebody spotted high school football coaches there in Monrovia, California, praying to God, and they were praying with the team right there on the football field. And they do that right before the games. And it's sort of a great thing, I think, that happens. So anyway, a parent said their child was made to feel uncomfortable by the prayers, and they filed a complaint. Now, it sounds to me that if you're uncomfortable about a prayer, that normally means you've done something that you need to repent for. But that's just me. I don't know who this kid is, so I don't know whether they're, you know, a godless heathen or what. So anyway, the truth is that faith and football are really like mom and apple pie, and it's really part of our shared American experience. But in recent years, God has just not been welcome on the gridiron, and we've seen this over the years, right? Remember when they went after poor Tim Tebow, taking a knee to pray, or our good friend Coach Joe Kennedy? Coach Joe from Washington State got fired because he took a knee to pray after a football game. It's insane. Just insane. And the good news, though, is that the tide is beginning to change, reverse course here. The Supreme Court ruling that Coach Joe did have a right to pray, and now Tim Tebow is more popular than ever. So I mean, this is exciting. So anyway, I'm encouraged here, and I hope the school district tells the atheist to take a flying leap. That's what I hope. And I say good for you, Monrovia High School, and you coaches, you keep praying with your students, and young people, you keep praying as well. Now, I have a trivia question. There's a song that people sing. And allegedly, that has a football theme. So here's the trivia question. This is very easy. True or false? And this may be a trick question. Is the song Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalpost of Life, is it real or fake? Real or fake? Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalpost of Life. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today. It's been a busy news day here on the program. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome in our next guest. She is the administrator of the Small Business Administration, the great Kelly Loeffler. Kelly, good to have you with us again on the show. It's been a while. Hope you've been doing well.
Well, it's been too long, Todd, but I'm thrilled to be back, doing great and working hard to put America first, finally, again.
We have so many things to talk about, but first, I just have to say thank you for this incredible op-ed you wrote. It was published in the Washington Reporter, and you bring up a very interesting point. We talk about President Trump's crackdown on crime, and yes, it's about law and order, but it's also about Main Street and small businesses who really have, they've borne the brunt of all of the looting and the rioting and the pillaging and the shoplifting out there.
Well, that's right, Todd. If you think about small business, it makes up 99% of all businesses in this country. It employs about half of our great workers. And small businesses have been on the front line of having to deal with this Biden crime spree, where essentially, and Democrat-run cities and states have opened wide the ability for crime to come in, not be prosecuted. And not only does it put the business at risk, it puts the employees and the customers at risk. And we've seen business after business in Washington, D.C. close down because they just can't take it when crime goes unenforced. It's very dangerous. Lives have been needlessly lost. And thankfully, President Trump is standing up to all of that. And look, I think more people are going to start asking for President Trump's help because this is transformative. You see it in Washington. People are out and about. It's safe. It's secure. And there's no need to support criminals over our great law-abiding Americans.
You know, I'm, in addition to being a national radio host, I'm a small business owner. I own the news radio station in my hometown of Memphis. And one of the things we've been having to deal with, a lot of small businesses around the country, and especially conservatives, are, you know, these banks that have been targeting businesses because of their political or religious beliefs. And I know that the SBA, you guys have really taken on this issue And I understand that you guys have actually sent a letter out to thousands of lenders. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you know exactly what's going on, and we hear examples of it way too much. Even Elizabeth Warren acknowledged there were 12,000 examples of debanking that happened in this country. It started with Obama, probably before that, but he formalized it under what became known as Operation Choke Point. It carried on through the Biden administration, and it resulted in targeting what people called disfavored industries. Well, that turned out to be not just 2A, but it turned out to be Christians and pro-life nonprofits and others who got debanked for their beliefs, be it ideological, religious, or otherwise. And so President Trump rightly drew the line, said this is going to stop. The president himself and his family were debanked. I mean, it's ridiculous. My campaign was debanked in 2020. So the executive order is guaranteeing fair banking for all Americans. We sent a letter to our 5,000 lenders ordering them to stop those practices and to report any instances. And what's great is federal regulators have also amended their bank examination processes to stop penalizing banks for operating based on risk parameters and stopping the reputational risk parameters that Obama had put in.
When you stepped into the role, I'm sure I have to imagine you went in, you know, expecting to do or see certain things. Anything that really surprised you about SBA?
Well, first of all, I was shocked to learn when I was there on my second day, 90% of the agency was working from home for 4 years. We immediately got people back in the office and back focused on Main Street. We then right-sized the agency, took it down by about half in terms of spending and headcount. And now, because we've gotten the bureaucracy, the picking the winners and losers, the political games out of the way, we're on track for a record year in terms of Main Street lending. That's Wow. Our core mission, in addition to supporting economic growth. And there's no transmission of President Trump's agenda like getting through small businesses. You know, the one big beautiful bill that helps small businesses, that helps workers, that helps families, and that's all playing out on Main Street.
And you've seen this, and it excites me as well when, you know, somebody, they get hired, they get that job, and they get that very first paycheck. There's something incredibly noble about work and being able to get that paycheck and putting in a hard day's work. That has to be exciting to see so many of these small businesses out there hiring people. We're bringing jobs back to America again.
That's exactly it. Hard work is at the core of our foundational values in America, of the American dream of putting in the time and getting the results. For too long, the government had disincentivized work. They taxed it. They taxed overtime and tips. Now I've walked factory floors, dozens and dozens of them, in our Made in America manufacturing tour, and heard workers tell me firsthand, I'm going to now be able to work overtime and get paid for it instead of it getting taxed away. So, you know, it's just amazing. Like, President Trump's instincts on everything have been right, but especially American industry and the American worker. And they're feeling it. They're excited. Main Street loves this. Obviously, Wall Street, the mainstream media, you know, is their heads are exploding over Made in America. They want us to be reliant on the Chinese Communist Party, but there's no worker like the American worker.
Well, that is so true. And I know yesterday you guys made some big news, big headlines, a new loan program for these small manufacturers. And of course, back in your great state of Georgia, what a great manufacturing state, especially in the northern part of the state. This is really going to, I suspect, revolutionize small manufacturing companies around the country.
Well, this is what's exciting, is now that we've gotten the agency back focused on small business and recognizing that 98% of all manufacturers in America are small businesses, and seeing that their number one constraint was access to capital. As someone with decades of financial experience, I can come in and design loan programs that are responsive to what our Main Street businesses, what our critical industries need. So we're excited about the manufacturing opportunity here to support their cash flow needs in real time. And this is something we've heard over and over. So we're going to continue to innovate for our small businesses and to reshore and to support President Trump's America First agenda.
All right. Well, big fans here, Kelly. And as a small business owner, thank you for the great work you and your team are doing at SBA. We greatly appreciate it, and we look forward to getting you back on very soon.
Well, it's our honor to work for you and for all the American people. So thanks so much, Todd.
All right. The great Kelly Loeffler, everybody. Man, is she just crushing it. And again, there was so much work that needed to be done. And isn't it amazing? You put competent, qualified people in those positions, and they're able to immediately go in, assess the issues, and fix those problems. And that's what's happening in the Small Business Administration. So there you go. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. And before we do that, we have trivia. Dylan, I forgot about trivia.
How could you? It's the best part of the show.
I'm ashamed. All right, let's go to Robert in Mills River, North Carolina. That's WHKP territory. Robert, thank you for holding on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you?
Well, I guess I'm doing okay. I can't believe I forgot trivia, but we are here, and here is the question. We need to know, Robert, the song Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalpost of Life. Is that a real song, or did we just make that up?
Yes, it is. It's a real song. I heard it when I was a little young, and I ain't heard it in a long time.
Yeah.
End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights.
Dropkick me, Jesus, through the goalpost of life. Yeah, you know what, Robert? You're absolutely right. It's Bobby Bear wrote the song.
Bobby Bear. I thought it was him. He does another good one called I'm the Winner. Look that one up.
So that's the name of the song?
I'm the Winner, yeah. It's a good song.
I heard he wrote maybe written a soccer song called Don't Kick Me in the Ball. No, but... Sorry, that's a different song.
Funny.
Are you getting pulled, Robert? Are you getting pulled over? I hear the police sirens.
Yeah, I live right off the 280 here in Mills River. I see it all the time, Todd.
Oh, geez, I bet you do. All right, well, Robert, hold on, and we're going to get you hooked up with a prize there. Now, Dylan, do we actually have the full song "Dropkick Me Jesus"?
Yes,
Hold on. I want to go to Chris. Can we go to Chris in Georgia before we play that? Chris, we've already got the trivia answered, but I understand you're saying he wrote this with his wife. Is that true?
About what now?
About the songwriter.
Yeah, Bobby Bear wrote it.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I understand. My apologies, Chris. I understand you're with your wife. Well, we appreciate you guys listening to the show. And we already have an answer to the trivia question. I have completely botched this segment of the show. Okay, you know what we're going to do? I want to hear this song as we go to break. This is the actual song written in 1976, Dropkick Me Jesus.
Dropkick me Jesus through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights.
Dropkick me Jesus through the goalpost of life. I like this.
Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan. Free from the earthly tempestion below. I've got the will, Lord, if you got the toe.
Big toe. Sing along, America.
Me Jesus through the goalposts of life. End or end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights.
All right, come on, Bartlesville,
Dropkick
Oklahoma.
Me Jesus through the goalposts of life.
Coming up, Luke Symbol will joining us, a Republican strategist, talking news of the day. Vice.com has a story out. I'm fascinated by this story. Dylan, I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well. Gen Z has bathroom anxiety.
I'm curious what that even means.
Well, Gen Z workers... they really have anxiety when it comes to using the bathroom on the job site. and they're ready to, according to Vice, they're ready to quit their jobs over it.
Oh, boy. That's pretty extreme to want to actually quit your job because you can't go.
Or no,
you don't want to go.
They don't want to go. I guess, you know, let's just say you had that bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit at McDonald's, and come 10:30, it's got to go.
I mean, it makes sense, especially if you work in a small building. You don't want people to hear one or smell two.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Workplace bathroom anxiety. It's actually got a name. That's what struck me as humorous here is it actually has a name. WBA, Workplace Bathroom Anxiety, somehow both universal and completely unspoken. According to a new survey, 83% of Gen Z employees have felt it. And not in a mild social discomfort kind of a way, but in a way that makes them seriously consider quitting their jobs. Is this true? They're saying for a generation already tiptoeing through layoffs and LinkedIn toxicity, don't know what that's all about, silence can feel like the only control you have. It's not limited to Gen Z either. 76% of American workers and 75% of British workers said they've experienced bathroom anxiety on the job. Across the board, women reported it more often than men by a margin of 24%. Some employees try to time their breaks so they won't bump into anyone. Others wait until meetings end or avoid certain restrooms, depending on who might be inside. A third admit to faking a work excuse just to leave their desks undetected. So I guess there's what, shame in going potty? Is that what they're saying here?
Todd, you know, I experienced this.
Do you really?
Yeah. And what I do is I stay 30 minutes after work.
Is that what that is?
I stay 30 minutes after work so I can go to the bathroom.
Is that why the Febreze bottle is always empty?
It's empty. And I don't buy any new ones. I just let you guys buy them.
I walk into the morning. Why does the building smell like lilacs or lavender? I don't understand. Or Gain.
It's masking.
We accidentally picked up the wrong Febreze, and it smelled like a laundromat in here.
It's true.
This is terrible.
Are you telling me you don't feel this way, Todd?
I'm pretty – well, I own the company.
That's
so
true.
I technically own the bathroom.
It is your bathroom.
It is true. I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, if this is a big deal for you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. They say that Gen Z workers are afraid of being smelled, being judged, having their skirts or pants tucked all weird, or being remembered for something they'd rather forget. Oh, you know what's really bad is like when there's toilet paper stuck to the bottom of your shoe. That's a big deal for the ladies, you know, the high heels. According to Vice, this is not a matter of drama or delicate things. It's the physical reality of having a body in a place that often pretends you don't. So what's the big deal? You just don't want people knowing your business when you're doing your business.
It's not that deep. It's the whole body thing of, no. It's not that deep. You just don't want people to smell your poo.
Oh,
let's get real.
That's a fair point.
That's all it is.
And I remember there was, well, I don't want to get into too many details, but back at Fox News, somebody ate something and it smelled like whatever it was alive at the time and then just died. And what we were getting was the aftermath of it all. The rotting carcass. It was really foul. Of course, in New York City, the entire city begins to stink right around, about August. You know, after it heats up all summer, the city takes on just a peculiar odor. Much like, apparently, many bathrooms in corporate America. So anyway, I'm curious, what is up with Gen Z and bathroom anxiety? So according to the article, people are so freaked out about this that they won't go to the bathroom. Sometimes they'll just hold it all day and then drive home and then go to the bathroom. Really? I'm wondering at what age does that become an issue for people? When you Is it 13, 14 years old? 15?
26.
26. Wow. All right. Maybe we need to get a counselor on staff.
I think so, yeah. My anxiety's up.
Maybe some nose plugs. I'm just saying. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com. If you haven't already done so, get our newsletter and podcast. Also, download our free app. Man, our app numbers are off the charts so far this month. You guys are really crushing it. You can download the app and listen to Conservative Talk Radio 24/7. Again, free of charge, and it'll take like 3 seconds to download. Just click on the podcast at the very top of the page. Got to take a break, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What is going on? President Trump, he's sharing all of these memes. Hey, Dylan, did you see the one last night between Pritzker and Chris Christie?
Oh, yes. I think someone finally showed him AI.
Wow. That was sort of like, that's the gist of it, right?
Yep.
Oh, like, wow, what's this toy? So now he just shared, well, within the past couple of hours, just shared himself dancing with the old timer in front of the Cracker Barrel logo. It's pretty cool. By the way, have you seen the new Babylon Bee video of all of the mascots sitting around?
Yes, yes.
All right, we got to pull that. We got to play that a little bit later on this afternoon. That's great. So anyway, President Trump having a good old time, and looks like we're going to be seeing federal troops being deployed to Chicago in just a matter of moments. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Want to bring into the conversation our good friend, Republican strategist from Memphis, Tennessee, Luke Symbol. Luke, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing great. It doesn't matter what kind of day I'm having. I walk into the studio, I hear the patriotic music and your opening to the segment, and it cheers me up. So it's good to be here.
Good. Well, I like to see that. Yeah. What I didn't like to see were Chris Christie and J.B. Pritzker. And what do they call them? What do they call the sumo diapers? I don't know. They're like underpants, Japanese underpants. There was a lot of boobage.
That's just what I was going to say. The AI visuals of seeing man breasts moving on the screen was just, I mean, it's a little alarming how AI can make those videos now.
We try not to use the term breasts, so boobies is appropriate. But,
my apologies. Anyway,
that's all right. That's all right. So one of the big stories we've been covering, of course, is the crime and the violence. And I guess Democrats now officially on the record as saying they support criminals in America.
That's right. We always kind of knew it based on who they were defending and wanting to let everybody out of jail and all these decarcerate groups that just refuse to hold these criminals accountable. But now they're coming out and saying it. Well done, Trump administration, Pam Bondi, others, for when they're speaking out, apparently the Democrats just say the opposite. So it's really amazing to me, and I feel really great, Todd, about the midterms for some reason. I know it's early, we have to work really hard, but the Democrats cannot get their messaging around anything Americans care about, like public safety, and it's the Trump that they're back on their heels, and they can't seem to regain their footing. And so well done, Trump administration.
Well, on top of that, you have, and I love what Missouri's doing. I think Indiana's doing the same thing now, and other super red states where they're going in and they're going to redistrict their one Democrat seat out of existence. And I think that's the kind of hardball that I want my Republican Party to play.
You're exactly right. And courage is contagious, and Trump's willingness to fight, and this administration, this Trump 2.0 administration, with the right people in place who are fighting alongside of him, it is giving courage to other Republicans across the country. And frankly, it's holding a lot of Republican governors and elected leaders accountable for not fighting too. And so what you see is these governors are starting to take the mantle, very similar to Trump, and the governors that are not are starting to be held accountable by their own voters, by their own Republican parties in their own states, demanding more. It is so, so good for the party and Republican voters.
You've got Congressman Andy Ogles in the Nashville area.
Yep.
Now calling for the governor to deploy the National Guard not only to Memphis, but Nashville, which has... They're ruled by Democrats, and man, the crime scene out there is really frightening because you've got a massive illegal immigration population out there.
Massive. And I was in Nashville. I go there quite frequently, and I was there last spring for a period of time, and I was walking to lunch, and I literally had to step over homeless people and step over people strung out on drugs. A lot of trans homeless people on the streets in Nashville smelling really poorly. And look, our hearts go out to those people, but their problems are not being solved being on the streets. And I think very similar to what Trump is doing in Washington, D.C., at that time in the spring, I said it is a shame that our state's capital, which is run, our state is run by a Republican governor and a supermajority Republican legislature. It is a shame that our capital city is falling apart like this and that folks, visitors, and others are having to deal with this homeless problem, with this crime problem. And you're right. We're seeing, obviously, people know about the crime struggle in Memphis, but we're seeing crime growth in Nashville. We're seeing it in Hamilton County, which is Chattanooga, a very popular place for people to move. And it's time for us to get tough. And it is a winning message, Republicans, to get tough on crime. People are done with it. It's time for the majority of us to take back our communities. The majority of us are not criminals. We are not homeless people. We have rights, too. And we pay for those public parks. We pay for those streets. It's time for us to take them back.
So help me understand what's going on with the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee. He hates my guts, and that's okay. I get it. You know, I've been very critical of him. And I think I don't think I've been out of bounds in my criticism, but it's a problem that he is not addressing those two big issues, and especially in Memphis, which, and I get it, Nashville, that's the cool, shiny, sexy city. I get that. But Memphis, we are a transportation hub, and it is critical that we have safety here, and we've got to tackle the crime here.
You're right. The reason he hates your guts is because you're shining a light on what's going on. And holding our elected leaders, regardless of party, is extremely important. And the truth is, you're right, one-third of all merchandise or goods in the United States goes through Memphis. But across our river, with the Mississippi River and barges, we have the train depots here. We have a lot to offer, not only the state of Tennessee, but the entire country. And so what we need to do, Republicans, is hold our elected leaders accountable. That includes Republicans, and tell them we want them to fight like President Trump. We're starting to see some congressional Republicans speak out about this. You mentioned Representative Andy Ogles. Senator Marsha Blackburn has said, no, it is time to bring the National Guard to cities like Memphis, even if they're blue run. Republican states do not have to live with this. And it is time for us to get tough. And it is a winning message for businesses, for voters. And I think we're going to see a lot of folks come over to the Republican Party because we are just speaking common sense. But we need our governor to step up.
So, and to that point, and by the way, you know, Senator Katie Bitt from Alabama, weren't even talking about crime. And she brought up Memphis crime just a few moments ago. I mean, on her own. So, you know, it is an issue on the minds of every other elected official in the country, except the ones that actually live in the great state of Tennessee. It's mind-boggling to me. Now, I want to bring up a story, and I was talking about this earlier today. There was a big shooting, a lot of chaos in downtown Memphis over the weekend. A half a dozen major fights. Restaurants were vandalized and destroyed. It's just horrible what was happening. Then in another area of town, somebody actually filmed what was basically a war zone. I mean, gunfire, rapid gunfire for a number of minutes. And the Fox affiliate here in Memphis did a story about it. And so anyway, I'm watching this, and then I just happened to scroll down into the comments. And Luke, I was stunned. There were several hundred comments, most of them from Black Memphians, and to a person, every single one of them was, we need the National Guard here. We need President Trump here. Our government has failed us. And I'm sitting here and I'm reading these comments and I'm realizing, wow, this, you know, the media would have you believe this is a black versus white issue. No, no, no. This is the American people versus their elected leaders issue.
That's exactly right. And what we're seeing in cities across America, Memphis is a classic example. The folks who are most affected by crime, it is the black-on-black violence. And these black residents in the city of Memphis and in other cities across the country are done with it. The vast majority are law-abiding individuals, and they want to live in communities where they grew up with their families, not having to wake up in the morning to find their car no longer in the carport. It really is unacceptable. And here's the thing. It's not that difficult, right? We saw Rudy Giuliani clean up, and I know people talk about this all the time, but it's the truth. Clean up and made New York City the largest, safest city in America because of how he addressed crime, aggressively prosecuting all crimes from the bottom up, no matter if they were violent or just so-called mere property crimes. And the left attempts to say that this crime issue is really complicated, it's really confusing, it's going to take a lot of people to get it. No, it doesn't. And that is a tactic to keep us from getting it done. It's not that hard. Aggressively police, aggressively prosecute, and our crime will go down. We have nobody in the state of Tennessee in the administrative level saying this is unacceptable in our state and I will not tolerate it.
You know, and again, far be it for me to tell Republicans what to do here, but if I were you guys, I would have somebody monitoring those comments because those are folks that are ripe for the picking. They're looking for something. They're looking for some political party that's actually going to listen and do something about what's happening in their communities.
You're exactly right. We saw a real populist movement with Donald Trump of forcing the Republican Party to finally start listening to the issues that everyday Americans are talking about around the kitchen table. This is a win, very similar to immigration in 2015. This crime issue is like a $1 million bill lying on the ground, and all our leaders have to do is pick it up, and they will be tremendously popular. And Republican parties around the country, the local parties at the county level, at the city level, start talking about it. Start talking about the issues, the crime, the cleanliness of your city, and I promise you will be pleasantly surprised when you see the votes for Republicans start to increase in our elections.
All right, Luke Symbol, good seeing you, sir.
Thanks, Todd. You get me fired up.
I know. Gee, well, that's what we do around this place. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Are you feeling encouraged as we begin to start shifting our attention towards the midterm elections? 901-260-5926. What do Republicans need to do to win and grow their majority in Congress? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Thank you for attending this meeting of canceled mascots. I'd like to welcome our first white member.
Howdy.
So they're not just canceling minority mascots anymore?
They're coming for all of us.
Since you're new, tell us your story.
Well, I was just minding my business, sitting next to a barrel looking folksy, and this white lady...
Yep, always a white lady.
A white lady said I'm racist. I mean, how? How?
So as I was telling y'all, this white lady says I'm just not connecting with the younger folk these days.
It's those millennials. They ruin everything.
Millennials are in their 40s now. I think the problem is Gen Z.
It's young people. They don't have respect for tradition.
What we like to remind ourselves here is just because certain people turned against us does not mean we're bad mascots. We are beloved.
I'll try to remember that.
So what's in the barrel? Is it crackers?
A barrel would be an odd container for crackers.
So are you the cracker?
Excuse me?
Then what is in there? Is it pickles?
It's just a barrel. I wouldn't worry about it.
Is it fish? Do you have fish in a barrel?
Is it cheese?
It's not rice, is it? Rice is my thing.
Can we move on?
I think that's a good idea. Now, for our next order of business.
What is in that barrel?
Hey, I want you to know two things. One, I'm just a folksy guy who wants to help sell Southern-style cooking. Two, if you keep asking about the barrel, it's going to be the biggest regret of your life.
Did that barrel just move?
What? Oh, that's just dandy. The public has demanded me back. So long, losers. It's time for me and my barrel to go back to imprisoning the souls of the innocent.
That's nice. Maybe there's hope for all of us.
All right, that was from the Babylon Bee. You had Aunt Jemima. You had Uncle Ben, the Indian gal from the Land O'Lakes butter commercial, and was it the Cleveland Indians mascot? And they were all their canceled mascots. I'm not quite sure I understood the whole point of the... It sort of took a squirrely turn there, Dylan. I'm not sure what Babylon Bee was trying to accomplish.
I think they got off on a tangent about the barrel.
And I'm sorry, but that didn't look like Aunt Jemima.
No. I think this is all AI anyway, but...
It had to have been.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, there you go. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, the question, should transgender people be allowed to own firearms? This is a discussion that is currently being had in Washington. I want to read this to you. This is from the Daily Wire, Mary Margaret Olihan. The Justice Department actively considering a range of options to prevent mentally unstable individuals from committing acts of violence. Now, it seems to me it's not so much should we ban transgender people, should we ban people with mental illness or disease from owning firearms? But the Justice Department considering blocking trans-identifying people from buying guns. One source inside the DOJ telling the Daily Wire, individuals are reviewing ways to ensure mentally ill individuals suffering from gender dysphoria are unable to obtain firearms while they are unstable and unwell. The DOJ would not comment on specific measures, but said a range of options is being considered. This story from Newsmax. The transgender shooter, the one that shot up the Catholic school in Minneapolis, turns out the guy had a 22-year-old girlfriend. And so let me see if I – so does that make her a lesbian because he identified as a girl? I don't know. I'm very confused. But it's really weird because now we're learning that the transgender gunman's girlfriend considers herself a furry. And – you can't make this stuff up. So a furry is somebody that identifies as one of these, like, anthropomorphic animals. Kind of like the college mascots, right, on game day. They have human traits, like they walk upright and they speak or wear clothes, but they're in furry animal costumes. According to Newsmax, the pair had dated for several years before breaking up. The shooter described in his manifesto that was the root of his suffering, was that his furry friend was no longer there. Jeez, Alu. What a mess this is. Anyway, the shooter wrote in a manifesto, I like feeling sexy and cute, but my face never matches how I feel. I hate my face. Maybe that's why I like furries so much. Well, maybe. Anyway. That's that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dearborn Heights in Michigan, they become the first police department in the nation to place Arabic on their official police officer patch. Yet another sign that Michigan is falling to Islam. There was also a football player. I want to say Jets, maybe. I'll have to go back and search this. But apparently the NFL is also allowing Arabic writing on the backs of jerseys now. Can't take a knee to pray to Jesus, but you can put Arabic sayings on your gear. Interesting. Oh, by the way, EBT folks, the SNAP folks, they're very upset because they're now implementing new rules and regulations. So if you're getting food stamps and you are, and hear me on this, if you're an able-bodied person, so you've got two working legs, you've got working hands, you can see, and you can actually physically do labor, then you're going to have to do labor to get your food stamps. Take a listen.
Can someone please help me make sense of this? I've been receiving food stamps for the last 7 years consistently. I just received a letter in the mail telling me that I now have to do community service hours at least 15 hours a week. I have to take out of my time things that I do every day to do community service so that I can still continue to receive the benefits that I receive. Mind you, I am receiving the maximum benefit. I get $2,000 in food stamps a month. But that is only because I have 3 kids. Now, how do they expect me to be able to do community service hours if I can't even get a regular job? So I'm at risk of losing my food stamp benefits because I'm not putting in effort? Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am, we are serious, very serious. And I'm curious, what do you mean you can't find a job? I think every fast food here in Memphis, every fast food joint in the whole city is looking for employment. Those are good jobs. Those are paying jobs. Many of them actually come with benefits like health insurance, for example. Some of them do, not all. According to WHYY-TV, Chris Parks started using food stamps more than 5 years ago, when she left her job to take care for her brother, who is a kidney transplant recipient and has an intellectual disability. Chris says she started getting food stamps through SNAP to help pay for groceries. And now she's being told that she could be at risk of losing those benefits because of the new work requirements. And here's how it works. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Do you have a problem with any of this? Food stamp recipients must prove they work or volunteer at least 20 hours a week. And now people are claiming this is not fair, that they should be able to sit on their big fat behinds and get food stamps and not have to do anything for it. And you just heard this woman tell you that. So I'm curious, do you have a problem with the fact that we are now going to require people to either volunteer or get a job? And hear me on this. You know, we talk about blight. Why can't we have folks walking along the sidewalks or going into these neighborhoods with some gloves and a garbage bag, and the least you could do is pick up garbage? What, are you too good for that? Is that what you're saying? I mean, come on. As many as 100, get this, are you ready for this? In Pennsylvania alone, as many as 144,000 residents are on food stamps right now, at least. The new work requirements, which were part of the federal budget bill passed by Congress, signed by President Trump, apply to adults under 55 who don't have children. Now, in November, veterans and people between 55 and 64 must comply with the change. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, where you stand on this. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida. Richard, what do you think about the new rules and regulations?
Todd, I apologize. I'm tickled that they're going to kick them off. And we have scripture to back this up. We got God on our side. The Apostle Paul said, if any man would not work, neither should he eat. So in other words, it's simple. If they're too stinking lazy to get a job and go to work, they don't deserve no help from the government or from the taxpayers. Not the government, it's the taxpayer. Why should we support them if they're too lazy to get a job and try to do their best for themselves?
Great question. And look, this lady was using the excuse of she's got three kids. Ma'am, did you ever think about saying no? Did you ever think about not jumping into bed with somebody?
Well, it's also, she's probably got taxpayer child care provided for them, daycare and school both. I mean, why can't she work whether it's school or daycare?
It's a great question, Richard. And again, the hardworking American taxpayers, it's important for you guys to know what you've been paying for all this time. Not only that, there was a story out of California, over 10,000 illegal aliens getting a college education courtesy of the American taxpayer. 10,000 illegals. My question is, what about the 10,000 law-abiding American-born kids who were denied a spot at those colleges? What about those folks? So there's a lot of malfeasance going on around the country, and I'm glad to see the Trump administration going after these folks. Richard, thanks for the call. Regina in Georgia, what say you?
Yes, sir. Am I mistaken? Did I hear her, and I might be mistaken, did she say she got $10,000 a month?
I believe she said $2,000. $2,000.
Okay.
But
okay.
Still.
Well, that's pretty good.
$2,000 a month for food. Now, for food stamps. And I think to Richard's point, she's probably getting other government assistance as well. I mean, what are the average food bills for a family of five?
I don't know, but that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that's all. I just didn't understand that. But, yeah, she's getting plenty of money, all right. Thank you, Todd.
All right. You're welcome, Regina. Woo, mercy. And, by the way, the illegals, though, they were getting like $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 debit cards courtesy of the American taxpayers. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. So yesterday we had Congressman Mark Harris on the show. The congressman really upset over what's happening across the big pond there as they're literally cracking down on free speech, throwing a lot of people in jail because of what they write on Facebook, on X. A comedian was arrested and thrown in jail for cracking a joke. Here's our interview with Congressman Mark Harris. Joining me now is Congressman Mark Harris, Republican from North Carolina. Congressman, good to see you with us. I'm curious, how concerned are you that what's happening right now over in the UK could actually happen one day here in the United States?
Thank you so much for having me today. And yes, we're very concerned, which I think is the reason for the hearing today. We're certainly grateful for our chairman, Jim Jordan, in bringing this to the forefront because there's a problem. I mean, if you doubt the things that happen over in England make their way to the United States, I look at what's happened in London and what we're now seeing happening on the teetering of New York City with the election coming up for their mayor. Things that happen and go wrong over there in Europe have a way of making their way over here, and it's a great concern. And so it's something that was brought to the forefront today that we've got to be able to be aware of it. And listen, they're going anywhere from censoring people for their memes, censoring people for their prayers, even arresting them. And you've heard the stories. They seem to come one after the other of individuals that are even holding silent prayer being arrested in the process. So it's a situation we're facing right now.
And I just froze up. Yeah, and Congressman, I know that earlier today you were pretty concerned about the Holy Bible and whether or not people could face troubles in the UK for the Bible. Let's watch.
I've served as a pastor for 36 years, and so obviously I have a heightened sensitivity to the whole issue of when governments and institutions begin to talk about hate speech and the censorship of hate speech.
And I guess one of the questions that I'm concerned about today, and I'll ask you, Mr. Price, because of your experience in this area, particularly with ADF, would you consider posting a Bible verse hate speech?
No.
And is saying there are only two genders hate speech?
I certainly wouldn't consider that hate speech.
No, I wouldn't consider it hate speech either, but clearly there are those in the UK and government who do, Congressman.
Absolutely they do. And, I mean, the way this law is written, that we've got to be so concerned about what is happening over there in the UK, is if you post something that is classified as annoying, or you post something that somehow creates anxiety in somebody, all of those things can be cause for criminal charges to actually be brought against you. And it is something that has got to be taken seriously. And again, we've all seen the cases of folks praying outside an abortion clinic over there, and what kind of message that when they get arrested and hauled in and holding up signs that in no way were threatening anyone, but just simply there to try to be available to pray for and to talk with someone if they needed help. And they were hauled away into jail. So I think we've got a serious, serious situation happening there. And this hearing today, I hope, calls attention to it. And again, as I said in that earlier question
right.
that I posed, whenever you call hate speech, somebody's got to be making the determination of what's hate and what's not.
Congressman, I want to switch gears real quick. Some interesting news out of Texas. The Attorney General there, Ken Paxton, wants school children to recite the Lord's Prayer and read the Bible. He also wants the Ten Commandments displayed in classrooms. Curious to hear your thoughts as a former pastor on that.
God bless him. I think that's a great move. I think that there's a lot of people across this country that will welcome an opportunity in many school systems to be able to post the Ten Commandments once again in their classrooms. And again, you cannot run away from real history. My wife teaches American history, and you can't get away from our history. And our history knows that America was built on the Judeo-Christian principles and the Judeo-Christian values of the Ten Commandments. And I think that having those on display in classrooms, there's nothing in the world wrong with that. And I think that it's a part of who we are as Americans, and I think it's part of our culture.
Congressman, I'll leave it with this. They took God out of school. They took prayer. They took the Bible. They took the Ten Commandments all out of school, and all hell broke loose. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens if we're able to reintroduce all that.
I'm with you, Todd. I think it's a great opportunity, and I hope others will follow suit.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our flagship station. Black Conservative joining us. Hi, Black Conservative.
I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher. Good afternoon to you.
Indeed you are, sir. Indeed you are, Professor Black Conservative.
You know, I agree with you 100%. Able-bodied individuals need to be working if they're in a sound mind. They can't be receiving taxpayer benefits, $2,000 in food stamps, when these are able-bodied individuals. You know, they do all the protesting all the time. You see them protesting all the time. They can work. If they can protest, they can work.
Well, they are able-bodied enough to hold a sign and walk down the street a couple of miles.
Absolutely. You can't go into Kroger's. You can't go into Sam's, a Costco, to find anything, any meat product, because they're in there buying up everything. You know, you ever stand behind them and they got a basket just full of all kind of items, you know, and the little self check machine just be going off, you know. They got everything, you know, chicken wings, chicken tenders, you know, chicken nuggets, ham, baked ham, honey baked ham, all kind of stuff they be having. And that's why the store, these grocery stores are running low on these products, because they're there buying up everything, and then they get what they want, what they want to buy, and then they sell off the rest of the food stamps to their friends.
And we see it all the time in our community, right by conservative. I mean, I've been in those supermarkets.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I remember there was a time when I didn't have a lot of money, and I wish I remember standing in line one day. And they had a full basket, and they were giving them. That was back when they still had the, you know, the actual food stamps and
the paperweight. Yeah, absolutely.
They were turning them over, and I'm sitting here going, "Geez, Alou, you know, I've got a big old thing of Oscar Mayer bologna and some bunny bread."
Yeah, I go there, I get several items, you know, just to hold over the weekend. They have a basket with everything, all kind of cereal. You know, Captain Crunch, you know, and you just name it. I mean, they're going to have to work, they're going to have to. And you mentioned Philadelphia. How many you said was on? I heard as I was getting back.
I think 144,000.
Wow.
And we're talking about, this is generational. You know, the whole point of government assistance was to help you over a rough point in your life, not put you on the government dole for the rest of your life.
Right. And this is fall under the category of abuse and waste. And I agree with one thing you said some weeks ago, listening to you about President Trump. You know, they claim that he's a dictator and a king or whatever the case may be. But for what we have put, the country has put this president through with his family's prime administration through, two impeachments, false Russia dossier, that coup, and, these false indictments and things of that nature, felonies. This president, this country is not in a position to tell the president what he should and cannot, what he can and should and cannot do. You know, because this president has been through more, persecution than any other president I have known in my time. So President Trump can do, in my opinion, like you said, whatever he wants to do.
Indeed.
You know, to make this country a better place, he can do it because the United States government has done this president so wrong, spent $45 million taxpayer dollars investigating an innocent American citizen president. But that's my point there.
All right. Blank conservative. I hate to do this, but that's the end of the show. And we're ending it on your beautiful erudite mind. So give us a holler back. We love you guys. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We'll be back here tomorrow, open line Friday. Get out there, you be safe, and you be good, America.